Well, good morning. It's another Tuesday, which means that it's maintenance day for World of Warcraft, and that means that it's podcast day for the Angels. As you know, the Angels is a World of Warcraft guild on the Trelian server. We also have a dark side, if you will, the Dark Angels, on the Rune Totem server. And we appreciate your listening to the podcast today. We have a website. It's located at wowangels.org, WOWANGELS.ORG on the website. And you're encouraged to visit that if you're a World of Warcraft fan. And each week we post this podcast. We review the news from Blizzard about the game. We talk about the guild and news from the guild. And then we move on to do a feature each week. And this week, as last week, our feature will focus on the patch 1.11. Last week we did kind of a preview as 1.11 was being installed and as we were anxiously waiting for it. And this week we will look back on the last week and talk about 1.11. And I think it's fair to say, and we'll go into more detail as we get into the feature, that overall we got to give Blizzard a passing grade on this one. There's some problems. We'll talk about them. What was that LFG looking for group thing? Mercy. Well, we'll talk about that. But there were some problems, but overall it seems that the patch is a positive event for the game and a positive event for most players. And so we'll be talking about that as we move to the feature part of the program. I want to begin with guild news, and there's not really a lot of guild news this week. We are continuing our push towards 60. I think we now have a 59 priest in the guild, and so we will have our first 60 here just shortly. And of course, I guess I should mention that a lot of the members of the guild do have 60s on other servers, that they moved here because of different problems in the servers. And the core of the guild, the officers and our guild master, of course, has several 60s on the other servers. And so we've got that kind of experience, but on this new server, we're just now getting to the point where some of our more rapid levelers are going to hit 60, and the rest of the guild is moving right along. I'd say probably our medium level right now is probably, I would say, low 40s, mid 40s maybe. And we of course, as we move towards 60, we'll move more towards the end game content. Also, as we've talked in past programs, we'll be moving as we get closer to the end game content and more people hit 60. We will be appointing class leaders to help people develop classes. So we'll have, for example, a rogue leader, a priest leader, so forth and so on, who will be responsible for nurturing our up-and-coming rogues or priests or hunters or warriors or whatever. We've already appointed an events manager, and that's me, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. And we've got a raid leader appointed. That will be Steel. We'll be appointing a main tank for our raiding. And we've got our eyes on one young man in particular. Well, I guess it's a young man. I don't know. Maybe it's a young woman. I don't know. The character is male anyway. Who seems to have a whole lot of potential. And looking at that person for main tank. We are definitely weak on priest. Fortunately, we recruited this 59 into the guild, and that is a big improvement for us. But we only have 5, or now 6, priests in the guild, and out of 120 players, 6 of them are priests. And that means on a 40-man outing, you know, we would require five of our six priests as a minimum to be online. And, you know, that's asking a lot. We'd like to see that number triple at least. And I know I've got a priest at 45, and she's one of the six, and I'm working her up, and as well as my main character, a rogue. And so we need to focus on that. We want to get some more healers, especially priests, into the guild. We got lots of paladins, lots of druids, but we need some all-out priests. And I'll introduce you here to Emma the cat. She just jumped in my lap, so if I get any disturbances or noises in the background, that's Emma the cat. She's come to visit the program today. Let's see. A moment ago I said that I wanted to talk to you about something, and now it has slipped my mind. Well, I guess that's part of getting old. You know, I'll be 50 here in less than 6 months. Boy, oh boy. 50 years old. And I guess if I'm going to be 50, I'm entitled to forget something every now and again. I told you I was going to talk. Oh, events. That's it. Ah, I remembered. I'm still young. Okay, I've been asked by the guild leader to head up a regular outing on Saturdays, to arrange an event outing. And basically what we're going to be doing as officers, whenever we can during the week, we go to instances and do things like this, but we're not the kind of guild yet, and probably never will be. We're not going to be a hardcore guild in the end. We're going to do some raids, we're going to do some instances, but we're not going to be the kind of guild that is going to do an instance every night or a raid every night. But we do want, at least one day a week, probably Saturday afternoons, to be doing that. And during the next few weeks, I will be arranging an outing, maybe multiple outings on Saturday afternoon, to give the officers a chance to look at some of our up-and-coming players and to begin casting people in different roles and working and helping them get to the point that when we're raiding, we can have everybody developed and where we want them to be. And so we look forward to that. Next Saturday we will put together probably an excursion, not so much to do quest, not so much to fulfill anybody's particular desire, really run a few instances with as many players as we can, maybe just Alderman, or maybe one of the lower ones, maybe SM, whatever, just to get an idea of people's capability, how they work in a group, how they get along with others, things of that nature. And what we're looking for are people who are going to work together, because we're not a hardcore raid guild. We're aimed more towards casual players. That means our raids have to be more efficient, our instances have to be more efficient, and we want to do the very best that we can. So we'll be doing that on Saturdays, and I'll be kind of in charge. I've been asked to kind of organize that. So moving now from the guild news, let's talk about Blizzard news. As we said, 1.11 was released. We're going to look at that kind of in detail as part of our feature today. And I'm going to skip 1.11 for now, and we will talk about that as our feature. Probably the biggest news item rocketing around is the proposed character transfers. And it kind of developed slowly over the past few days. First, it was released on an Australian site, and later confirmed by Blizzard, and then pulled back. Blizzard didn't want it on their website initially, in the forums or anyplace else, and they were kind of mum about it for a few hours, and then it was released kind of more generally. And I got an article, the article I'm going to be looking at in the news item today, from IGN. IGN did an interview. IGN GameSpot did an interview with a official representative of Blizzard. And so we've got some more or less official word. Now, the details could change, But as it stands right now, they are planning to make character transfers available. You can transfer, like if you have a husband and wife and you have two accounts, you got the same names on the account, kind of an idea. You can transfer even characters between accounts, but primarily we're talking about realm transfers. You can transfer from one realm to another. Up until this point, they have only allowed that to take place in certain realms. When a realm became overpopulated and they had new ones or unpopulated ones, they would open it up temporarily for a short time and allow migrations. Well, that's a lot of why we're here, because, you know, kind of the core of the guild, you know, took advantage of one of those migrations and went to a new server, and things just didn't work out on the new server. And, you know, so they ended up re-rolling new characters here. Well, once this character transfer thing goes through, then some of those characters, I know Crystal, for example, has a 60 priest, and that will help the guild a lot. Some of those characters will be able to come over. Now, the bad news is it's going to cost you $25 a pop to do it. And so for those who take advantage of this, it's going to be a little expense involved. There will also be limitations on gold, how much gold you can bring. If your character is, well, first of all, you have to be at least level 10 to transfer. But if your character is between 10 and 30, the maximum amount of gold that you can bring over is 300. If your character is 31 to 50, the maximum amount of gold you can bring over is 1,000. And if your character is 51 and above, the maximum amount of gold you can bring is 5,000. Now, they're capping that, I'm sure, to keep a lid on the farmers, to keep a lid on the gold sellers and things of that nature, but they are capping that. And they are putting some limitations in. You know, you cannot go from a PvE to a PvP server, but they will allow people from PvP servers to migrate to PvE servers, to a normal realm. And they will allow that. And none of this is set in concrete. In fact, the way it was released, it sounds like they're floating it. Sounds like they wanted to hear a feedback. And if you want to, you can go to the site. There's a couple of places where this is discussed in the forums, and give them some feedback on that. The date, when it will go in effect, they have just said sometime this summer. We're in the summer. So the next month, 2 months, 3 months, sometime in that time frame, we'll have to see what happens in that regard with them. Let's see, what else do we have for news here today? 1.12 discussion has already started about 1.12. The two main things that they are looking at in 1.12, they will be doing an update to the rogue class. This is the last class to be updated and refitted since the initial release of the game. And another thing that they are talking about in relationship to 1.12. There is a second thing that they're talking about, and that is cross-server battlefields. In other words, when you go into the pool to go to a battlefield, it will not only be people in your server, but people from other servers. Now, again, not a lot of details have been released. There's a lot of things to iron out in that. But that is what they're aiming for. You know, broadly, you know, we don't expect to see them allow just a big free-for-all, all servers go into the same pool. My thinking is they'll probably put PvP into one pool PVE into another pool and probably put some other restrictions on it. That'd be my thinking as to how they might do that. I don't know. There's some other things that have been pointed out. For example, let's say that you're on server A and your character name is Susie, and somebody else on server B also has a character named Susie. You're both Alliance and you're both thrown together in the same battlefield. How will Blizzard handle that? They don't allow duplicate names on the servers now, and that's understandable. How will they handle it in the battlefield? That's a technical problem, one that can be overcome probably pretty easily, but that's one that will have to be considered. A second thing that will have to be considered, there will have to be some limitations placed on it, I'm sure. I can imagine that the gold, the people who sell gold and items and stuff like that, would have a field day. All they got to do is enter a PvP queue, and they can trade gold and stuff cross servers. If all the trade is available and activated and that sort of thing. So there are problems that are going to have to be worked out, but that is kind of what they're aiming for in 1.12. I'm going to talk a little bit about this, I think, more in my feature next week. I'm a rogue, and I want to talk about, rogue changes and some things like that. I think probably that will be at least one feature that we will do next time. Oh, a third thing that they're talking about with World PvP or the 1.12 is having World PvP. In other words, right now, like on a PvE server, basically your PvP is in the battlefields. But what they're talking about is creating world golds that would encourage player versus player. They have not been giving details, but the speculation is kind of running. It might be, if a group, one side or the other, controls a certain area, then everybody on that side maybe gets a buff or gets, some little trinket or something, whatever. The details haven't been released, but just spitballing here, if they put up a place and say, for example, if the Horde controls it, then everybody on the Horde side, gets plus 5 on their hit, max hit, or something like that. I don't know. But it would be that kind of a thing where there would be a benefit to each side for controlling certain objectives. And as long as the objectives are controlled, then the benefit would accrue, whatever that benefit would accrue. Let's say, for example, they set up a resource kind of thing, and whichever side controls it, then the NPCs, give a 5% discount to whichever side controls it. Anything you buy from an NPC would get a 5% discount. That would encourage a little bit of PvP, to cut cost. And, it's that kind of thing that they're talking about with 1.12. So three main features in 1.12, and we're talking months down the road, folks. I don't know, maybe August, September, maybe later. Rogues, World PvP, and possibly cross-server battlefields. So that's kind of the news of what is going on. I have one more news item that I'm going to sandwich in between the Blizzard news here and the feature for today. And again, in the feature, we're just going to do a review of the patch and some of the things that have gone on. I got a message from the Lord of the Rings community manager. I've been involved in a lot of these doing beta testing for a lot of the MMOs, but basically they have already started registering for beta, but what they are saying is that if we will post on our guild site an announcement of the Lord of the Rings beta, and if we get as many as, I mean, they will allow up to 100, if we can get a you know, a large group of people, 20, 30, 40 people, to agree from our guild to band together and be a part of the beta and be a guild in the beta, then they will just more or less guarantee us a place in the beta. So I'm going to put the information about this on the website, and what we will want to do is to sign up as kind of a guild with the Lord of the Rings online, and I will take care of registering our guild to do that. And let's see if we can get 20, 30, 40 people together, because I already know that some people are already registered, but this is a way where we can band together as a guild and have a presence in the beta. And when the game opens up, if enough of us want to try that game, and I certainly do, you know, it's not that I'm unhappy with WoW. I'm very happy with WoW, but Lord of the Rings, I mean, that's the mecca of fantasy, fantasy world. And if they can make a decent game, it'll be worthwhile. But anyway, I'm going to put the details of this on the website. You know, here's what they said to me. They said, "We noticed in your application that you're part of a large guild. Don't forget to get other members of your online gaming guild to register. If someone in your guild gets into the beta program, it automatically increases your chance of getting in. The top 10 largest guilds will automatically receive up to 100 beta invites, and the remaining top 90 will get up to 20 invites. The best way to encourage guildmates to sign up is to post the Lord of the Rings beta URL on your guild forum or email it to your guildmates directly." And they told me a few other things. But anyway, that's the basic announcement. And so if you want to be a part of that, in the next day or two, I will be posting that information on the website. And that's just kind of a heads up or a preview to start looking for it. And maybe the Angels will be a Lord of the Ring guild as well as a World of Warcraft guild. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Well, that's the news. Let's talk now about our feature today, and that is about 1.11. As I said earlier, my impression of 1.11, my personal opinion of it, and my impression of talking with as many of you as I could about 1.11 is, generally speaking, it's being met with approval. Generally speaking, it seems to have been positive. We were all turned off a little bit when they popped this background loader on us without telling us, but I can't help but believe that the fact that that background downloader had already popped down 180 megabytes or so of patch, and we only had 40 or 50 megabyte to download on patch day, I can't help but believe that that saved us a lot of pain and agony on patch day. I can't help but believe that it worked well, that it was a good thing in the long run, that the only negative was they didn't tell us they put it on our machines, and that was a negative. But, you know, there were problems patch day. There were some people who couldn't get on till the next day. But overall, the patch itself seems to have gone fairly well for a patch, for a game this big. And a lot of the changes seem to be very positive. Now, that's not to say that it doesn't have its problems. Like I say, it did have problems, especially on patch day. A lot of people who couldn't get in. Looking for group thing, making that worldwide, I just don't know what to say about that. And quite honestly, I just have to tell you, I am torn both ways on it. Like everybody else, the first day when I saw what people were doing with it, I was horrified. I thought it was a terrible idea. I just thought, what were you thinking, Blizzard? And, just overall shocked. And turned it off. You know, whacked it off. And I've kept it off most of the week. But as the week went on, I noticed that things settled down a little bit. And I found myself, when I wasn't really busy questing, or doing an instance or something of that nature, especially when I was flying, I found myself reading it, watching it. And yeah, there was some childish stuff, and there was a lot of talk that shouldn't have been there. But it was interesting to watch the requests for groups that were in different places. And I'm thinking that maybe this is a good thing. I'm thinking that what Blizzard will probably do, what they should do, is just emphasize to people that, hey, you have an off button. You can turn this thing off if it annoys you. I found a good pickup group for ST using it, and it worked for me. So I kind of feel both ways about it. I don't like the fact that, you know, there seems to always be one or two on there who are just, you know, being a snit. And there are three or four righteous individuals who want to correct them, you know. And so there's a constant argument going on about it, about who should be on and who should be using it. But if you can get past that, I can see that it has uses. There needs to be, the meeting stones do not work. They do not work, they do not work, they do not work. Why do they not work? Because the meeting stones randomly throw groups together, and they take no regard for what you need in the group. I think the most sensible way is to do what they've done, to make a worldwide looking for group channel. I'm just, you know, making it default on in the first chat pane is probably not the best idea. Maybe it should have its own little pane. In fact, that's what I did. I've got three little panes down there now. I've got my general, I've got my combat pane, and then I've got a third pane that I keep that looking for group on in, and whenever I want to see that, I just switch over there and look at it. And so, it's good and bad. It's been flooded. Been some people on there that shouldn't have been on there. But I think we need some kind of worldwide communication center for looking for group. Now, what are the abuses that will come in the future? I don't know. Will they nerf it? I don't know. I think most people, if they were asked to say something negative about 1.11, would point to that. They would point to that looking for group kind of thing. And it is, it can be a pest. So anyway, that's the negative, and 1.11, and we will see what happens with it. Blizzard wrote one complex sentence about it. They said, we feel that is the Looking for Group channel, definitely provides a helpful advantage. However, we are evaluating its current implementation and likely changing its function slightly in the near future. That's what they had to say about all the complaints that were made about that particular channel. And so that is one thing. Now another thing, we've got this scourge invasion going on, and that means that there are level 55 elites running around in Stormwind ganking newbies and you know, that kind of thing, and that's a bit annoying. The constant yells from by this mouth of Thelzad is annoying to me, and you know, I guess they're just trying to introduce it and they're spreading around. They say, and I was surprised to learn this, I haven't seen it myself, but they say that there are temporary, now listen now, temporary temporary bosses in even the lower level instances to kind of celebrate the introduction of this new instance. And so supposedly in all of the instances there is a temporary boss that is not usually there that drops something nice to kind of introduce this. And if any of you run across one of those, give us a tell, give us a holler. I'd like to hear about them. I'd like to see them. My experience so far with it largely has been, you know, trying to make sure I don't run into those guys while I'm questing and running around. And, you know, once in Stormwind, I had to save a couple of newbies from being ganked. That's been the limit of my experience with it, you know, up to this point. And we're not at the point yet where we can go and explore this new thing. And so, you know, it's kind of anticlimactic, I think, to most of us in the guild. But I guess for the 60s and the hardcore guilds that, you know, they're rushing around in it to discover it and explore it and whatever. That's another aspect of it, but has both its positive and negative aspects. Now, in reviewing the patch, there were some things in the patch that I really, really liked. One of the things that I like is that they put in on the optional bars. You know, you got your main bar down to the bottom, but you can go into your options and turn on a bar in the lower left and one on the lower right. And then you have two bars running vertically up and down the right side. And now they have added in those, if you link any of those to keys, the key appears in the top right hand side of the box, so you'll know what the key is. Plus, like the main bar, they have now activated in those bars, you know, if you have a spell that is that you're out of distance, you know, you're too far away, it appears, the little number of whatever key you have on it appears red, and when it appears white, that means it's within range and you can use the spell. And I find that very useful on both my priest and my rogue, and I really, really like that. And that was kind of an unannounced thing. It's kind of something that they slipped in, and I thought it was real, real good. Some of the features I'm looking forward to exploring: the cost to unlearn talents will decay over time. I think I've respec'd three times on my rogue. Haven't done it yet on my priest, but respec'd three times on the rogue. So, you know, I'm looking forward now to going a month or two without doing that. And the cost of respec'ing will go down 5 golds a month to a minimum 10 gold that way. They said that in this new patch, if you log back in after a disconnect from the server, they said it has been greatly improved, quote unquote, and a player should now rarely receive the message, quote, a character with that name already existing, quote. Well, my experience, with one exception, my experience has been when you log back in after disconnect, now it just throws you back to the character screen and doesn't give you any message at all. I mean, that happened the majority of times to me when I found myself in that situation this past week. Now, one time, this afternoon, one time, it worked the way that they advertised. My ISP did a burp, and I got disconnected, and I restarted the game, and I hit it, and boom, I was right back in game. And so one time out of, say, five or six this week, it worked properly for me. The other five or six times, it just dumped me back to the character screen two or three times before it finally let me in. So we'll see how that feature pans out in the future. Another good thing that affects me as a rogue, chain spells and things of that thing, like multi-shot from the hunters and cleave and chain lightning, no longer land if a target cannot be seen by the caster due to stealth or invisibility. And for a rogue, for me, that was very nice in the battlefields this week. I think before the patch, you know, I was in the battlefield, and you know, a hunter, he could walk into the room, pick one target, and do a scatter shot, and it would hit every stealth rogue in the room. Well, it doesn't work that way anymore. If he walks in and he hits somebody else and hits a scatter shot, it will only hit people whom he, the hunter, can see. And so it's been nice and has improved my survivability as a rogue. And I kind of like that. The tier 3, a lot of excitement. I know one of the guild members talked to me quite a bit. He had gone over and looked at some of the tier 3 armor that they introduced, and he was really excited about that. Something that I have just been introduced to myself today, Alterac Valley was changed. Most of the non-player character guard units were removed from it, which is a big change for that instance. And the creatures that did remain in Alterac Valley have had their hit points reduced. And we are not seeing a lot of Alterac Valley instances spawned on our server. I tried all week, just not seeing a lot of it. But when 1.12 comes out and they start combining the servers, then we should see more Alterac Valley battles. We'll see how that turns out. Let's see. Changes to the druid. Like to hear some feedback about the Innervate Swiftmen change out, where Innervate has become trainable at level 40 for all druids, while Swiftmen is the new talent. I'd like to hear some feedback from some of the druids on that. I'd like to hear some feedback from some of the mages. I don't have either one of these classes, so I'm asking you for feedback. I'd like to hear from some of the mages. How did it go last week? You had all your talent points refunded and you respect. How did it go? How did the changes affect you? I saw the new light well that the priest makes now, and it is a little bigger, it is a little more accessible, and looks pretty good. As a rogue, I experienced this week detect traps as being a passive skill, and that's very, very nice. Pickpocket, I didn't see any noticeable change in it. They said that the pickpocket ability now will no longer trigger effects on your target. They also said that they fixed some of the stuff with Vanish again. You know, seemed to be working the same old way this week. You know, every once in a while it just doesn't work. That's the fact of the matter. Big thing, key rings. I guess the biggest complaint I heard about the key rings this week is people who want to use other UEs other than the game supplied UE. Are not seeing their key rings, and you know, Blizzard is just going to have to fix that and allow other people's UEs to have it too. But for those of us who use the Blizzard UE, you know, my slots were there on all of my characters, and it's very nice. I have three keys at present: Searing Gorge, the Scarlet Key, and one other, I think is the Workshop Key, maybe. I don't know. I can't remember what the other one is, but I've got three, and, you know, they're in there now. And, you know, it's nice that it's not taking up space in my bank or my bags. Another thing that I really enjoyed this week and is working as advertised, the stacking limitations that have changed. The leather and stuff now goes up to 20, as do some of the other things, especially as a rogue. My flash powder, my poisons and things like that, up to 20 in a stack now, and that's been very, very, very enjoyable. I also benefited, the hides now go to stacks of 10 instead of stacks of 5, and that freed up about 5 or 6 spaces in my bank, and I really like that. They've improved for mining. They've improved, bronze, silver, and iron will now give increases to the mining skill for a little bit longer than they used to. And I only mined up till 35. I did mining and skinning till 35, gathering skills, and then I switched over to, you know, marketable or skills that make things. The mining was a little hard to train, and I think that will help. But I didn't test it this week. So I'd like to hear from some of you miners about how that works out. Another big thing that I didn't try this week, I'm really looking forward to. Now, raid leaders and, leaders for instances can reset instances. Now, there is a pane, a function, rather, that will display a pane showing all the raid instances that a player is saved to. And you know, then the group leader can reset any of them that need to be reset. Now, this will not work for some of the big raid instances. Some of the big raid instances still, you know, have their traditional timers and things like that. And since I don't have a lot of experience up there, I'm not going to talk about that. But like, you know, if you want to run an instance of SM, pop out, and to go back in, the group leader now has an option. If I'm understanding what this says, a group leader now has an option to reset that instance. And only the group leader gets it. And if you select reset, all instances, all non-raid instances, will be reset to their starting condition. That's what the advertisement says. Be interested in hearing from people whether or not it's working that way. And like to hear about that. What I did see this week in parties is the ability of the raid or party leader to mark individuals in the raid and to mark targets. That went very, very well this week. Did early in the week, did a run through Maradun, and in that run, the group leader used it very effectively. I think Steelblade and I were together on that run. Used it very effectively to mark the target, the proper DPS target each time. And so, you know, there Steelblade was, you know, going between target and target and target, but there was a skull that appeared on the target that all the DPS people should have been on. And I think that will help. I think that's a nice thing. But in all the groups I went with, I only saw one group leader really using it properly. The rest of the group leaders played with it, but really didn't use it for anything significant. Another change that I noticed this week that was very convenient, it's a small thing, I know, but, you know, life is made up of small things. It was a small thing. When you go to the bank now, your bags that you carry on you and the bags in your bank have a different background color. so that you can tell them apart. And I know that's a little thing. Maybe it's just us old guys who are going to be 50 in the next few months who have trouble with this. But before that, you know, I'd always say, well, now, which bag does that belong to? Does that belong to me, or is that a bank bag? You know, and I could get confused very easily. Now you don't get confused at all. You know, on my computer, you know, it's kind of a brownish, maybe a small, slight brownish tint on the bags for the person that I carry, and a gray kind of background for the ones in the bank. And that's a nice little thing. It's a little thing. I know it's a little thing, but boy, it was really, really nice. And then I guess the final thing that I think worked really well, the new flight paths, especially the new flight path at Ratchet and the new flight path at Marshall's Refuge in Ungaro. Used them both this week, and saved a lot of time by them being there, and they were very, very nice. So again, if I were given a grade, I would give Blizzard a strong A minus. I think it was an outstanding patch, as patches go. You have to understand, no patch is perfect. Every patch is going to have its problems, and I think this overall is basically a good, solid patch. There are problems, but they're few, and they've worked out some of those problems already, and I think it's really good for the game, and I'm really, really happy about this patch, and I hope 1.12 will be that good. I'm hoping they'll fix my rogue class and make it everything it should be. We'll see what happens when that takes place. Listen, I really appreciate you listening to the podcast today. Went a little long, but it's important stuff to me, at least. And want to remind you again of the Lord of the Rings announcement. In the next day or two, I'll be posting on the site how you can access that. And we want to urge you to maybe sign up for that Lord of the Rings beta. Mention that you're part of the Angels Guild. And we will start the ball rolling, and if we can get 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 people, we're going to be guaranteed a place in the beta as a guild, as a group, and that, I think, would be marvelous fun. So appreciate you listening to the podcast. This is Quinzit, a.k.a. Jack, signing off until next week.